morning, everybody, and a warm welcome to Elizabeth Cleland, who is going to lead service this morning while Elspeth's on holiday, and to Susan Cowell, old friend here, playing the organ in place of Audrey while she's away enjoying herself. The intimations are on the back of the order of service. I don't think there's anything that I need to really mention. You can read them all, but a big thank you to the cleaning team who have worked hard this week, cleaning the halls and the church, so that it looks good for us all. Okay, thank you.
Well, good morning to you. And I just love this up here. Welcome to worship. We're glad you're here. And I'm glad to be here with you this morning. Loving God, open our eyes to the beauty of your holiness. Open our ears to the message of your word. Open our minds to the challenge of your truth. Open our hearts to the power of your love. Open our lives to the coming of your spirit, that we may truly worship you now and forever. And we sing our first hymn this morning, hymn 201, Worship the Lord in the Beauty of Holiness. So let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we come before your presence singing, from all that we are, for all that you are, we offer our love to you. You are our maker and our minder. In you, darkness becomes light, chaos becomes order, and the desert bears fruit. You are our friend, reaching out a hand of forgiveness and hope through Jesus into the world, embracing us each day with strength and with courage. You are our guide, breathing your spirit in us and between us, so that we may know your grace in our lives and show your grace to the world. Loving God, maker, minder, friend and guide, we come before you now in worship. You are our God. You are our creator. You made each one of us, and you know us inside and out. And so we do not have to worry about trying to hide from you or conceal things from you, because you know everything about us. And so we simply come this morning just as we are, with all our faults and with all our failings, asking that you will just come and speak to us afresh, that you will come and meet us at our own point of need this morning, and that as we leave this place, we may know that we have met with you. And so, Father God, we offer this time to you. Please lift us up from the cares of the world into the very throne room of your grace. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you a wee story this morning. So if you're sitting comfortably, I will begin. It's by a man called Max Lucado, who writes a lot of books for adults, but also some for children. And we are all children this morning. The Wemmicks were small wooden people, and all of the wooden people were carved by a woodworker named Eli, and his workshop sat on a hill overlooking the village. Each Wemmick was different. Some had big noses, some had huge eyes, some were tall and some were short, some wore hats and some wore coats, but all were made by the same carver and all stayed in the same village. And all day and every day, the Wemmicks did the same thing. They gave each other stickers. Each Wemmick had a box of golden star stickers and a box of grey dot stickers. And up and down all day through the village, they spent their days sticking stars or dots on one another. Now, the pretty ones, those with smooth wood and fine paint, got stars. But if the wood was rough and the paint chipped, the Wemmicks gave dots. The clever ones got stars too. Some could lift big sticks high above their heads or jump over tall boxes. Some knew big words and could sing lovely songs. Everyone gave them stars. Some Wemmicks had stars all over them, and every time they got a star, they felt so good. Others, though, could do little, and they got dots. Punchinello was one of those. He tried to jump high, but he always fell. And when he fell, all the others would gather round and give him dots. Sometimes when he fell, his wood got scratched, and they'd give him more dots. When he tried to explain why he fell, he would say something silly, and more dots came. And after a while, he had so many dots he didn't want to go outside. He was scared he'd do something silly. Sometimes people even came up and gave him a grey dot for no reason at all. "He deserves lots of dots," they said to one another. "He's not a good person." And after a while, Punchinello believed them. "I'm not a good person," he said. Sometimes he went outside when it was dark and met other Wemmicks who had lots of dots, and he felt much better around them. But one day he met a Wemmick who wasn't like anyone else he'd ever seen. She had no dots and no stars. Her name was Lucy. It wasn't that people didn't try to give her stickers, it's just the stickers didn't stick. "That's what I want to be like," thought Punchinello. "I don't want anyone else's marks on me." So he asked Lucy how she did it. "Oh, it's easy," she said. "Every day I go and spend time with Eli." "Eli?" "Yes, Eli, the woodcarver. I go and sit in the workshop with him." "Why don't you go and find out for yourself? Go up the hill. He's waiting for you." But Punchinello was worried. "Will he really want to see me, a bad person?" The next morning, he got up and began to walk up the path to the top of the hill. And at the top, he stepped into the big workshop. Everything was huge, and he was scared. He thought, "I'm not staying here." And he turned to leave, but just at that moment, he heard his name, Punchinello. He stopped. "Punchinello, how good to see you. I'm glad you've come. Let me have a look at you." "How do you know my name?" Punchinello said. "I know you because I made you." And Eli stooped down and picked him up and set him on the workbench. "Oh my," he said. "Looks like you've got some bad marks." "I didn't mean to, Eli. I've been trying really hard to be good." "Oh, you don't have to defend yourself to me, child. I don't care what anyone else thinks about you." "And you shouldn't either. Who are they to give you stars or dots? They're just the same as you. What they think doesn't matter. All that matters is what I think. And I think you are really special." Eli looked at Punchinello, put his hands on the small wooden shoulders, and spoke very slowly. "You are special. I made you, and I love you." Punchinello had never had anyone look at him like this. And he didn't know what to say. Eli said, "You know, every day I've been hoping you'd come. I've been hoping you'd come. And I want to tell you this. The stickers will only stick if they matter to you. But the more you trust in me and my love, the less you will care about their stickers. It'll take time. But just you keep coming to me every day. Spend some time in my presence and remember how special you are. I made you and I don't make mistakes." Punchinello started to walk back down the hill. And in his heart he said, "I think he really means it. I think he really means it." And as he said it, a dot fell off and landed on earthly ground. A children's story, but one with a very special message to each one of us. Maybe we've been on the receiving end of a few dots in our lives. Maybe there have been times when we felt we weren't good enough or special enough. But the good news is that we are loved by our Maker. We are loved by God. We are loved by Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. And we're loved by one another. So if you're feeling like you've got a few dots this morning, just spend some time with your Maker every day and let him just wipe them all away. We're going to sing a lovely hymn, an old hymn, 493. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the New International Version, starting at Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." And the second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen.
And we sing again 601, Look Upon Us, Blessed Lord. So let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Story from the Gospel of Luke is a well-known story, the story of Zacchaeus, a story that we probably heard in Sunday school or on another, maybe at school even. The story of Zacchaeus and that lovely Sunday school song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And I think I've grown to love the story even more as the years have gone on, because I, like Zacchaeus, am height challenged. And I know only too well what it's like when you're short. I was at a concert the other week. The Rolling Stones were in Edinburgh, Murrayfield, and somebody bought me the ticket, which cost £100. And I went to the standing area, and it was great. I got a good wee bit where I could see the stage and see the screens. But blow me, after about 5 minutes, these three really tall men came and stood right in front of me, and I was like, ah, no. So I tapped them on the shoulders and said, excuse me. And they went, what? And I went, you're standing right in front of me. And they went, so? We've got a ticket just like you. So I had to use my elbows to get them out of the way. get back into a place where I could see the Rolling Stones. For people who are not short, for people who are tall, they don't understand, I think, what it's like. Even this morning, I was trying to get down some paper towels from, and I don't know who put them away up in the top of a cupboard, but I had to get a broomstick, and try to push it down and off, and down it came right enough, but it didn't land in my hands, it landed on my head. When you're short, you sometimes have to be creative, which is exactly what Zacchaeus was that day in Jericho. We know that Zacchaeus was a tax collector for the Roman government. The Romans, who were the enemies, the ones who had overtook and occupied the land, Zacchaeus was working for the Romans, collecting taxes for them. And while he was at it, he made sure he collected a good sum of money for himself. So the folks who knew him as a tax collector didn't like him. They looked upon him with disgust. He was an outcast in the midst of his own people. Lots of black dots for Zacchaeus. And so even though he was making a good living and rolling in the money, he was a very lonely person. Folks turned away from him, wouldn't give him the time of day. Zacchaeus was reaping just what he had sown. And then one day, Jesus comes to town. All the people are excited to see him. They've heard the amazing things he's been doing, the miracles, the healings, the teaching. Everyone wanted to see him. So they were crowding the streets, watching him come by. And there in the midst of that crowd was the wee man, Zacchaeus. And he wanted to see Jesus as well. Don't really know why, it doesn't say, but maybe he wanted to see what all the fuss was about. But maybe there was something else going on that day. Maybe Zacchaeus was hungry for something in his life, hungry for something money couldn't buy. Things in his life were bad. He was in a bad place. And maybe he was hungering for something more and hoped that maybe Jesus would lead him to that. So he climbed up the tree to take a look. Maybe too he'd heard from others how Jesus reached out to the outcasts, to the undesirables, the people that others would turn away from, people just like him. Maybe he climbed up the tree hoping not just to see Jesus, but hoping for something more. You know, sometimes when people are far away from the Lord, the Holy Spirit actually begins to work in them, starting to draw them closer and closer to that moment where they will encounter Jesus. Maybe that's what God was doing that day with Zacchaeus, stirring something up within him, making him want more for his life, making him want a good life. God's grace was going before him that day, calling to him, drawing him towards the Saviour. And that's the way it works. I've often heard people saying, I don't know what it was, but I just felt drawn to go into church. I just felt drawn to find out more about Jesus. They hadn't wanted to do so before, but God was ahead of them. He was beginning to stir them up and draw them to come to see Jesus. Jesus came into town. He came passing by. And then he stopped right in the front of the very tree that Zacchaeus was in and looked into his eyes and said to him, come down, Zacchaeus, for I must come to your house today. Well, I don't know who would be more stunned at this, Zacchaeus or the crowd. Zacchaeus must have thought, is this really happening to me? He's talking to me. He wants to go to my house today. Must have been humbling and exciting and overwhelming all at the same time. Except it wasn't all good news. The people, the good people, were stunned as well. And they weren't in the least bit happy about the turn of events. And they let it be known loudly and clearly. They began to mutter and grumble because Jesus was going to the house of a sinner. Isn't it so sad that rather than rejoice that Zacchaeus' life was about to be turned around, they were jealous, they were upset, they didn't want Jesus to go to this house. Thank goodness Jesus doesn't listen to the grumblers or the mutterers. Thank goodness Jesus will always go where he is most needed. I think I've shared with you before, when I was in the parish, we did a lot of work with homeless people, people whose lives were chaotic for the most part. Not only were they homeless, some of them were addicted to alcohol, drugs were a huge problem. And there were some folks in the congregation who just couldn't understand why we would be serving food to the people, why we'd have a clothing bank, why we would welcome these folks with chaotic lives into the church hall week after week after week. Someone said to me once, they're just a bunch of wasters. You're just throwing good money away. Their lives will never change. I don't know why you're bothering. One day, a young man came into the soup kitchen, and we knew him. He had problems with anger. And he sat down and he was just having his meal, and he got a phone call. And he was on his feet like a shot, shouting and swearing. And I was thinking, oh no, what's going on? And I said, come on outside for a wee while. Come and sit on the steps out the front and tell me what the problem is. And he says, well, it's my former partner. She's got a new boyfriend, and he's no been very nice to my bairns, and I'm just going to go right up there now and punch his lights out. And I said, oh, just wait a minute. If you do that, you're going to get lifted, and that's not going to be any good to you or your children. And I said to him, I didn't know you had children. He said, aye, I've got two. Do you want to see them? And I said, yeah. So he got his phone out and he popped up the picture. And wow. I went, wow. And he went, I bet you never thought somebody like me would hae braw bairns like that. And I said, no, that's not what I'm thinking. I'm just thinking they are beautiful children. And you need to start behaving like a father who has these beautiful children. I said, so I don't think you should go up to the house and punch that man's lights out. I said, you just sit here a while with me and let me tell you something. You are a special person in God's eyes. God loves you. Jesus loves you. I love you. And all the folk in there who are serving week after week, they love you too. You're special. He said, oh, but this is my life. I says, I know, but it's not the life that God wants for you to be living. Not this chaotic lifestyle. He said, it's all right for you. You've got it all sorted out, haven't you? And I said, well, no, I don't have it all sorted out. And neither do all the folk in there have it all sorted out. Sometimes we get ourselves into messes as well in our lives. Sometimes our relationships with our families are not good. Sometimes we make silly mistakes over and over and over again. But the difference for us is that we know Jesus. He has called to us. He has asked us to trust him. And so even though we don't have it all worked out, we just lay our lives before him day after day after day. He said, drink it, Bora, if I came to church. And I went, it would be wonderful if you came to church. And so he didn't come the next week, and he didn't come the next week, and he didn't come the next week. But one Sunday morning, in he came with the two bra bairns. And he heard the story of Zacchaeus. And it resonated with him that day. And I'm not saying his life all of a sudden got sorted out. But we began to see a wee difference in him. A wee difference in the anger. A wee difference in his lifestyle. And about a year later, he got a job with a council. And life began to turn around for him. The story of Zacchaeus is a well-known story. But it's a story that has things to say to us time and time again. The first thing it has to say to us is this: God never stops seeking those who are lost. God never stops seeking those who are lost. God never turns away. Even though we might turn away, he never turns away. And he keeps on working, calling, wooing, never turning away from his children. The second thing the story reminds us of is that there is no one beyond redemption. There's no one outside the arms of God's love. There's no one so despised or so sinful that God doesn't love them. And there's no situation that God cannot turn around for the good. And the third thing that the story tells us is that we must rejoice when people come to Christ. Not like the people in Zacchaeus' town who muttered and grumbled because Jesus was speaking to him or going to his home. When people come to the Lord, we must rejoice with them, because we must never forget that we were all sinners in need of God's grace. So maybe you find that you're up in the tree today, a tree of pain or a tree of sorrow, a tree where your life is in a mess. There's good news this morning. Jesus is calling you to come down, to come into his arms and to know new life, to know forgiven life, to know abundant life, to know eternal life. It's there for the asking. So come on this morning, take hold of his hand and walk with him into the future. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And we thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Every morning we have the opportunity to begin afresh with you. Every morning we have the opportunity to say we're sorry and to start afresh. So we thank you for the story of Zacchaeus. And we thank you for the invitation to come to you. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're a wonderful God, and we love you, Father, and we love you, Jesus, and we love you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Just as I am. Wonderful hymn 553. Just as I am, I come to thee.